The Prayer of a Husband's Heart for His Bride. Lord, help me to have a vision of the finished product of my wife, to see the end, to see what she can become. When cultivated, to see what she can be, to envision her and to look upon her now, so that as she lives, she can have the faith through my look of favor. As I look upon her, that she can have hope to become what she sees in my eye. As I look upon her with a cherishing look of approval and favor and hope, where she can see in my eye a reflection of beauty, of peace, of generousness, a generous spirit, a heart of patience and kindness, where my heart treats her like a beautiful and delicate flower. For everyone to admire the beauty of a heart full of confident, peaceful, generous, loving beauty. One that is admired by all. One that such beauty can be appreciated by everyone. Lord, help me to look upon my wife with this graciousness, this favor, this faith, in you, that you can do all things, that even what is impossible for men and women is possible with God. Knowing that you will bring this about if we are completely obedient, that we would obey you completely in faith, knowing that you are the only wise God, where we can entrust our hearts, our minds, our very being to you completely, where we would not worry about tomorrow, that tomorrow is in your hands, but that we would live life today in the wisdom of faith and confidence in you, that you are the only wise God. And our times are in your hands. And that no matter what comes our way, we do not have to worry. We do not have to fear. Because you are God. And you order our steps. You give us the wherewithal to meet each circumstance that you bring to us. And you bring each circumstance to us, whether good or bad, for us to deal with. Like a child of God would, like a son would, like a king would, like a prince would. That we would deal with each circumstance, whether good or bad, giving us the opportunity to show our faith in a loving and good God that will give you glory. You give us, as princes, carrying your kingdom authority, as sons we are princes on this earth, to carry out the kingdom authority of God upon this earth within us, within our hearts. You sit on your throne in our hearts, and inspired by your heart within our hearts, we live and we respond to each circumstance that comes our way. There is evil in this world, but you order our times. You give us the opportunity to deal with the evil. As we are able to handle it with faith in you. You give us times, you give us circumstances that are too difficult for us on purpose so that we can draw from the authority and power and life of God that is within us, and render that authority, that power, that life to a world that is evil. You put us here to render good to an evil world, to be a light in the darkness. You send us to the dark places in order to fill those places with light. You give us opportunity to show the world how to live in difficult times by the power and faith in you, Lord. You give us the opportunity to show the world how to overcome in each circumstance. How to overcome through painful experience. How to overcome pain and the fear of pain by enduring through it with our faith in a loving God. The world sees us going through the pain with confidence and joy. Showing the perfect, loving, beautiful strength of God, we become a beautiful flower in the midst of an ugly world. We become a mighty tree growing out of a cliff. The world can then look upon us and say, wow, God is real. No one could have accomplished that except God is working through that man and in that man. And they will give glory to God. Lord, I thank you for the difficulties that you've led me into so that I can overcome them and be like you in all circumstances in order to give glory to you through all difficulties. Through this faith and confidence and knowledge and wisdom, I can say, as James says, consider it all joy when you encounter any and every kind of various trial, knowing that it is the testing of your faith that produces endurance. So let endurance have its perfecting result in you, so that you can be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Do you lack this wisdom? Well, just ask of God. And He gives wisdom generously to all. But you must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the waves of the sea. The waves get tossed to and fro by every wind. They have no stability on their own. They rise up away from the rest of the water, and they get tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine. Such an unstable, double-minded man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord because he is double-minded. He says he trusts in the Lord and that the Lord is God, but then he cannot believe that God would put him in this situation. And so God isn't the God here in the valley or the mountaintop. And he calls the devil God here because the devil was behind this situation, which he was, but he can't see past the devil to see the hand of the all-wise, only wise God giving him this circumstance for him to become strong and mighty in faith and for him to overcome the evil. How can you overcome evil unless you're presented in a situation with the evil? You can't beat Goliath hiding in your tent, because Goliath will come to you. You must face Goliath. What are the Goliaths? Well, they come in many forms. What Goliath has God brought you to face? Are you going to overcome him in faith with a smile on your face, knowing that it was God who brought this to you? For your times are in his hands. Don't be double-minded and not give God the glory for his wisdom. He is your personal trainer who says, I'm going to put another weight on your barbell. You can do it. Give it all your might. Trust in me. He is your commanding officer who designed the obstacle course just for you. This obstacle course was a perfect gift, designed just for you to make you, to form you into God's image, that you can meet each circumstance just like Jesus did. If you want to become like Jesus, well, you're going to have to go through the experiences that Jesus went through, that gave him the opportunity to live out his faith in God in each circumstance. Did Jesus fast and pray? Well, then you need to fast and pray. Was Jesus tempted by the devil so that he could slay the devil with the stones of God's word? The devil tempted him, taunted him. And what did Jesus do? But he threw the stones of Scripture at the devil. He hit him 3 times, and the 3rd time, he prevailed. He prevailed each time, but the devil didn't give up. The 3rd time, he left him for a season, looking for a time that was opportune to attack him, to tempt him again. Did Jesus prevail each time? He did. Why do you think it will be different for you? Do you want to become like Jesus? All the way to the end. Then expect the same treatments. Jesus is the way. He showed us the way with his life. He didn't take all of the pain and suffering so that we wouldn't have to go through pain and suffering. He took all of the pain and suffering to show us how to go through pain and suffering. He took the shame upon himself so that we could give him our shame. He took our dis-ease, the dis-ease of our soul that was from our sin. As we repent of our sin, as we overcome our sin, we are walking in Jesus, because we are walking in the way of Jesus. We are becoming Jesus on this earth. We are the Christ here on this earth. The Christ is the anointed. We are the anointed. Altogether, we are the anointed one here on this earth. We are his body, anointed with his spirit. As we lay down our lives before him, he gives us his life. We do not have to be afraid. We can trust him. He knows what he's doing. He gives us the circumstance because he knows we can go through it. He doesn't give us circumstances that we cannot overcome through faith in him. We cannot handle them on our own, with our own power, but we can if we draw deeper within ourselves. In fact, the reason he gives us harder trials is so that we can learn to. The harder the trial, the deeper we have to call from within ourselves, the deeper into God we have to call up from the depths of our being, the more glorious we become. The harder the trial, the bigger the army of the enemy, the more glory for God when we overcome it. If we want to glorify God on this earth, then we are going to have to act like the army of God and quit hiding from the enemy. And attack him. And attack him. And prevail. With the might of the Lord, we draw up from the depths of our hearts confidence in the Lord by the wisdom of the Lord and by trusting in him. We can handle whatever comes our way. and we give glory to God as we choose to do that. We also not just overcoming evil, but we also look into the hearts of our brothers and sisters and call up the glory within them to look on one another with the faith that God is in you and you can do anything. What is it God has called you to do? You can do it. We can look at people in the world through asking God to give us eyes to see the seeds of faith in people. Seeds of faith that have not even sprouted yet. And that we can speak life-giving water to those seeds so that they can sprout. We can cultivate the ground by showing people love, putting oil and water on the ground to soften it. Speak life to the seed. Cultivate the ground. Speak life to the seed of faith, showing people love cultivates the ground. Speaking truth to the seed makes it sprout. Sprout in faith, where the seed sends roots down for it to drink from God itself, and sends shoots up where its leaves sends out water vapor back to God, to bless others with, sends out oxygen for others to breathe. We are a unique breed, being a planting of the Lord for people in the world to breathe the oxygen. We drink up the water from the ground and we grab the sun, the rays from the sun, and we take that water and bring it up to this world from the depths of our heart, from heaven. Because our hearts are planted in heaven. Our roots go down deep into heaven itself, deeper than this world. And our shoots go up into the atmosphere of this world, and we bring the water of God into the atmosphere of this world. We also give off oxygen for people to breathe, the oxygen of the breath of God. so that people can breathe heaven. The water vapor gives life to the people in this world, and the oxygen we give off of as planting of the Lord gives breath to the people of this world so that they can become living beings also. That is our calling here. Are you planted in a lonely place? Give life to those around you. You are called to be an eagle. Eagles are still eagles even when they're surrounded by turkeys. They don't need to be surrounded by eagles to be an eagle. You can mount up with wings of an eagle even though you're living in the midst of turkeys. If you are in a lonely place, surrounded by turkeys, you show them how an eagle flies, so that those turkeys can give glory to God, and that out the heart of an eagle can sprout within them, and they can be changed from being a turkey to being an eagle themselves. Maybe the whole group of them won't, but maybe one will. For it's the remnant that will be saved. A few out of many will be saved. When you're surrounded by people who all speak well of you, and hard times come, and those people who acted like eagles, talked like eagles, now alone, will they still fly like eagles? When they're on their own. I hope each one will. Right now we're living where it's easy to be an eagle. We're living in a time of light. But night is coming. Night is coming. Will your faith stand in the nighttime? Will you be a light when surrounded by darkness? It's easy to be light in the daytime when everyone else around you is light also. It's easy to be a candle in the midst of other candles. But when you're separated, and you have not the encouragement of other believers at close hand, will you still be a light? Have you learned
to drink from the presence of God yourself in your own secret place, so that when the night comes, you will still shine. When it's against the law to meet together, and your meetings will be few and far in between, will your faith stand strong? Or will you fall away because you are more dependent on the faith of others to lead you into worshiping God? Or was it a mixture of both? Your faith in God yourself, where you drink in God all by yourself every day in your secret place. And then when you come together, that's an extension of what you found in the secret place. And you drink from the depths of God when you're together. And you bring that to aid in your secret place times. That's what God is calling you to do. So that when the night comes, you will stand strong, and you will not be afraid to meet. Because if you do not have that secret place time, if you require other eagles to fly like an eagle, that you cannot fly like an eagle yourself without other eagles, then you will fall. You will probably fall when night comes and you're alone and it's just you and whoever you're worshiping, whomever you fear the most. Do you fear man or do you fear God? What are you afraid of losing more than anything? Are you afraid of losing your life more than you're afraid of losing the intimate beauty of the friendship that you have with God? Or is your friendship with God only found when you worship with other believers, so that when the times of worshiping with other believers, if that is taken from you and you're alone, will your faith grow stronger or will it die? Night is coming. What will happen to you? Develop that intimate time with God, yourself, you and God alone. Continue to meet with believers. But take what you do with believers and develop that into your intimate time with God, where you are hearing from God. And the things that you hear from other believers, you bring back and say, God, is what I've heard from these other believers, do you testify to that? You see, your faith must be in God more than it is in other believers. You must trust God above all, even your own mentors in the faith. Otherwise, your mentor is your God. God must be your God. He must be your teacher, your father, your leader. If you consider that man to be your teacher, your father, your leader, then he's your God. And if he makes a mistake, you won't know it. Everyone makes mistakes here on earth. But if you regard that man or that woman as your teacher, as your leader, as your father, then when they make a mistake, you won't know it, and you'll follow in the same mistake. For a teacher is not above, for a student is not above his teacher. But if you regard God as your father, your teacher, your leader, then you're putting your faith on the rock and not on the shifting sand of man. That's wisdom. That's faith in God. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not leaders and teachers and leaders in this world. For we have teachers and leaders and fathers in this world that we learn from, that we follow, and that we gain hearts that know how to drink from God. They are examples to us. They're not God themselves. But they show us what God is like. But we do not treat them as God. We must hear from God ourselves. And until God says, yes, this is the way, yes, what he said is right, until God gives the words, the leading, the fathering, until he gives it life in us, we can't just accept it as being truth. If we do, we don't know if we're being deceived. We don't know if he is deceived until God. You see, that's training our hearts to wait for God. It's training our hearts to hear from God. That we cannot accept any doctrine until God highlights it, gives it life in us, so we know it's from him. This is how we must, each one must train his heart to be a discerning heart, to know the difference between what sounds good, because it makes sense to our little brains, the difference between that and hearing from God, and God giving it life in us so we know that it's true. That's what we must train our hearts and minds to do as we're listening to a man speaking. We must not merely listen with our little brains or our confused hearts. because we're all full of confusion. If we just listen to men, we're going to have confusion in us. If, however, as we're listening to the men, we're having our hearts tuned to hearing and waiting for God before we accept what a person says is true. See, we'll have our hearts trained to discern good and evil. We cannot trust man to be giving us truth. That is leaning on the understanding of men. We must train our hearts to be hearing from God, each one of us. I don't care how great the man is or how much of a baby you are. You must wait on the Lord. Listen to what the man says, but hold it before God and say, God, if this is from you, give it life in me. I cannot accept it until you do. See, that's waiting on the Lord. If you will wait on the Lord in this way, you will gain new strength, because your faith will be founded on God, not in the words of men. Because the greatest men out there, the greatest teachers, have nonsense in them. We all do. So don't listen to me now and just take what I have to say at face value and say, well, it sounds good, it must be true. That's you judging my word with your own brain. You must hold it before God and say, God, if this is true, give it life in me. If it's not, show me the error. But learn to discern not merely with your understanding, even your understanding of Scripture. Because no doubt, you, just like I have had and still have, misgivings, misunderstandings of Scripture. So that whenever we hear things, we apply it through our understanding of our perceptions of God's Word. And it's going to have a faulty understanding of God's Word. And we will never get out of that until we learn to trust the Lord, to trust in Him. And as we all do this together, and then tell each other what we've heard from God, where the greatest man can learn from the least, as well as the least can learn from the greatest. Because God, in His wisdom, will give to the least things that the greatest will need to hear. And He does that through His wisdom to keep us each humble and not thinking that we are God. We are the answer to the world. So me, I'm 62 years old right now. If a 13-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 3-year-old says something to me that doesn't line up with what I believe, I need to hold that before God and say, God, am I wrong? Is this person right? Will you show me so my faith can be founded on the rock instead of the shifting sands of man's thoughts, even my own thoughts, even if I think that they're all founded on Scripture? I cannot trust in my thinking. Can only trust in you. You are the only wise God. You are the only solid rock. You are truth. Help me. Help me to become the beautiful flower you want me to become. And not the twisted, distorted being that is a product of man's minds. I don't want to be a sandcastle. I want to be a rock built by the Holy Spirit using God's Word. Make me into what you want me to be, O Lord. Make me solid and true. You are the tree of life. I am like a vine, even only a branch, but I must be twisted around you. I must grip with all my might into the bark with my little tendril fingers, holding on to the rock, holding on to the solid oak tree, which is you. Then me, the wimpy vine, gain the strength of the solid oak tree. And when the winds blow, I can endure because I'm gripping the solid oak or even the solid rock. Thank you, Lord. And again, help me to treat my wife as precious as she is, even when she is not acting in a precious way, to treat her as if she is. Thank you, Lord. Amen.